The lesson is from the book of Luke, Luke 2, verses 25 through 35. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your heart, your soul too." This is the word of the Lord.
So this year, during our Advent journey, we traveled under the theme anticipation. You can see it on the screen there. Because Advent really is a season of anticipation, a season of waiting. Some people have waited and waited for the time to come that they can finally unwrap the presents under the tree. And others have waited and waited to be able to see and spend time with family and friends. And some have waited by the mailbox, hoping against hope to hear from that one person or those people that they only hear from once a year. And some people have just simply been waiting for the madness to be over. Those folks work in retail. In the church, we wait too, right? We wait for the birth of the Christ child. And sometimes it seems like a fairly slow journey. We light one candle and another and another and another. And finally, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, we get to light all of the candles. Christmas has come and gone. The presents have been opened. Things have been returned. But there is still anticipation and waiting for Simeon. We don't know very much about Simeon. It appears that he's old. Some scholars say maybe 105. Tradition says Simeon was 113 years old. But what we do know about this man, this old man, Simeon, is that he was devout, that he was faithful, that the Holy Spirit filled him, that he and the Holy Spirit had a connection, and that the Holy Spirit had promised Simeon that he would not die before he saw the consolation of Israel. In other words, the Spirit had promised that Simeon would not die until he had seen the long-awaited Messiah, the Redeemer, the Savior. Scripture doesn't tell us how long Simeon was waiting. But if history is any judge, we know that Abraham waited 25 years after God said to him, "Really, you will have a descendant. In fact, you'll have gobs of descendants." 25 years he waited. Joseph waited in the prison at Potiphar's. Hannah waited for a child. Rebecca waited for a child. God seems to like to have his people wait for him to show up, to interact. He makes promises. He always keeps them, but sometimes it takes him a while to keep those promises. So we only know that Simeon is waiting. But all of Israel had been waiting for the appearing of the consolation of Israel. All of Israel was waiting for the Messiah. Can you just imagine, picture if you will for a minute, Simeon, the anticipation as he waited? Maybe he woke up in the middle of the night thinking about it. Maybe he began every day with the, I wonder if today will be the day, kind of a thought. You know, we aren't very good at waiting. We don't really like to wait. But Simeon's waiting was almost fun because he knew that at the end of this waiting, God was going to show him something incredible and amazing. But for most of us, when we hear the word wait, it's a less than welcome word. Because we live in a world of instant everything, right? We value speed. We pull up to the light and it's red and we start drumming our fingers. We check our phone. When is this light ever going to turn green? We go to the store and we wait in line. We wait for somebody to put down that last green sweater because hopefully it's our size. We wait. Even with Amazon Prime, we have to wait for our goodies to come. And don't even get me started on the doctor's office, the dentist's office, and the DMV. Because the thing is, we really stink at waiting. We really do. And our phones, we can get anything we want, anytime we want it, any place we want it. We're accustomed to that. And it's good news and it's bad news because unfortunately that need, that mindset to have whatever we want right now has spilled over into our faith life. When we pray, when do we want results? Now. Right? We ask God for something and we expect that He answers our prayers now. And our cry and our urgency of our prayers is dependent upon the level of trauma involved in whoever or whatever it is that we are praying for. And so we cry out, we offer up our prayers, and we wait. And if we have to wait too long, then we start to ask questions. We question ourselves. Did I do something that's made God mad at me? Have I done something that, and that's why He's not answering? And when we're done questioning ourselves as we wait, then we start to question God. Is everything okay between us? Did you leave and not move? Did you move and not leave a forwarding address? And we start to get antsy. And a lot of times we're in a place where we are waiting for something or someone. There are really in our lives few experiences that test us the most, that test our faith the most, other than waiting. And sometimes it feels like we wait a very long time. But you see, the thing about waiting is this. Waiting isn't so much about what comes at the end of the wait as it is about who we become while we wait. It's more about who we become as we wait. Because we could become bitter. We've waited so long. We could become indifferent. We could walk away from God. Our hearts could be hardened. We could become very impatient, or worse yet, grouchy. Or we can use that waiting time to listen for the prompting of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The difference is, sometimes when we wait, we find ourselves with our feet in different worlds. Picture the guy that's standing with this foot on one log and this one on the other, and we're fine as long as we're going straight. And then the logs start to go like this. And so when we are waiting and we're impatient, we're waiting for something good, then we find ourselves present in the here and now, but part of us has already packed our bags and left for the future that we hope we will have. And so while we're kind of here, we're going through the motions, but we really aren't all that present. What happens to us then is that sometimes the part of us that's packed our bags and is already living in anticipation of what's to come, sometimes that doesn't happen. And then we know great disappointment. But we also miss out on what it is that God has for us in the here and now, today. So let me give you a couple things to think about while we wait. Today, God's mercies rose with the sun. If you go to Lamentations 3, verse 21, you will read this. The author of Lamentations tells us that God's mercies are new every day, each and every day. Today and every day, we see the glory and the honor and the beauty in the heavens that God has made. The psalmist reminds us of that in Psalm 19. Today, God reminds us just how much he loves us. We can go to John 3:16. Some of you will be watching football today. There will be somebody in an end zone with a banner that says John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Or we can go to Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verse 8. God showed his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Today, we have a cross to take up. Luke tells us in chapter 9, and Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let them deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. And in Psalm 118, the psalm reminds us that this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us rejoice and be glad even if it doesn't look like we would like it to. Let us rejoice and be glad even if it isn't quite what we expected. Even if it isn't anything like we had imagined. Because truth be told, we are always waiting for something. If we are on a faith journey, and I presume because we're here that we are, then we often find ourselves waiting on the Lord. Waiting and trusting. Trusting that he has our best interests at heart. That what he is doing is really the best for us, even if it doesn't look like it is, even if it doesn't feel like it is, even if we're being stretched and pulled, even if he's taken us to the very end of ourselves and he's let us look over the edge, he will not let us fall, but we need to know him well enough to be able to trust that that is the case. We need to be willing to trust him, to believe him, that what's going on in our lives is serving his greater purposes through us and not just serving our greater purposes. And so Simeon waited each day, waiting with anticipation that maybe, just maybe, this would be the day. But nowhere does it say he was just sitting by the side of the road waiting. It appears that Simeon was going on and about with his life as he waited. And then it happened. The day finally came, and the Holy Spirit propelled Simeon towards the temple. At the same time, Mary and Joseph were also headed to the temple. You see, we know that Simeon was devout, that he was faithful, that he trusted. But we can say the same thing about Mary and Joseph. They too were faithful and devout. They had come for the rite of purification for Mary. They were following the Mosaic law, Leviticus chapter 12, everybody's favorite book of the Bible. When a woman had a baby boy, she waited 40 days, a baby girl, 80. And then the mother and father would come to the temple. They would bring an offering. They would bring something for sacrifice, and they would give it to the priest. And once the sacrifice had been made, the woman was then clean, and she was then able to go into the temple to worship. So picture this scene, if you will. An old man, ancient, 113 perhaps. He's ready to die, but he knows that that won't happen until he sees the consolation of Israel. So he's waiting in obedience. He's waiting in devotion. And he sees Mary and Joseph and the baby coming his direction. And the Spirit taps him on the shoulder and says, "That's him." Imagine what Simeon must have thought. Imagine what he must have felt. And so he goes to Mary and Joseph, and he takes this baby, 40 days old. I wonder how long he looked down and stared at the face of his Redeemer. I'll bet he didn't even check to see if Jesus had 10 toes and 10 fingers, because I bet he was so busy memorizing every single detail about his Redeemer. Put yourself in his place for a minute. What kind of joy must Simeon have felt? There he is, the consolation of Israel, and he's holding God's consolation for Israel in his arms. The joy that he must have felt, the balm for his soul at that point in time. He had waited for this. God kept his promise. And then finally Simeon speaks. And if you look at those verses in today's reading, verses 29 to 32, that's Simeon's song. It's been a part of liturgy since the 5th century A.D. It's called the Nunc Dimittis. Those are the first two Latin words in what it is that Simeon has said. "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." God kept his promise. Can you imagine the awe and the wonder in his voice? It happened. It really happened. I'm holding the Redeemer. This is Simeon's song of worship. He thanks God for the fact that he gets to see. He thanks God that God kept his promise. But it isn't just a worship song. It's a salvation song. Simeon acknowledges that this baby is the salvation of God, the one that everyone has been waiting for. I wonder if at this point in Simeon's life, if he was just quiet, if he didn't talk much, he just kind of kept to himself. I have the honor and privilege of visiting Gladys Eisinger. She'll be 105 a month from today. Gladys doesn't say a whole lot anymore when I go to visit, although she does sing to me in Norwegian, the same song she used to sing to the cows when she milked them. But other than that, she doesn't say much. Until the wine is poured and the bread is ready. And we talk about the body broken and the blood shed. And when it comes time to say the Lord's Prayer, this incredible saint closes her eyes and she raises her face to the sky and she prays the Lord's Prayer really loud, because I think she wants to make sure God hears her. I wonder if Simeon did that. I wonder if his, "Now it's okay for me to go. I've seen the salvation." But it isn't just a worship song. It isn't even just a salvation song. It's a mission song too, because the Spirit has made it clear to Simeon that this Redeemer that he's holding is for everybody. That he will be a light to the Gentiles. Putting the word Gentile and the word salvation in the same sentence would not happen in a million billion years. And yet here's Simeon talking about Jesus being the salvation for the Gentiles, for the whole world, and that Israel would get the glory because salvation comes through the Jews. And so Jesus came so that all people, anybody who chooses to believe in him, will be saved through this Redeemer, the consolation of Israel, the one that they've waited and waited for. How many of you pray? And you pray with expectation, right, that God is going to answer your prayers? Right? That's how we pray? How many of you are still surprised when he does? Right? I mean, you can see that in Simeon. There's this sense of amazement and awe that, oh my gosh, even more. He really did keep his promise to me. What's even more amazing is that Simeon wasn't anybody special. He was very old. Nowhere in Scripture do we find out that he was part of the Sanhedrin. Nowhere does it say he's part of the upper class. All we know that he's old, that he's faithful and devout, and probably insignificant in the scheme of things. Just like the shepherds who were out minding their own business. The only people lower on the social rung than the shepherds were the lepers. They were insignificant too. And when you get right down to it, so were Mary and Joseph. A poor virgin, a poor carpenter. Some of us look in the mirror and we see someone who isn't necessarily all that important. Maybe we look at ourselves as being insignificant too. And then God comes crashing into people's lives and the ordinary becomes extraordinary. And there stood Mary and Joseph, watching Simeon stare at their child, their eyes probably so big and their mouths amazed at what this old man is saying about their child. And he blessed them. Maybe it was scripture that he read. Maybe it was a prayer that he said. Simeon told them that this child of theirs would grow to be the cause of the falling and the rising of Israel. Not the rising and the falling, but the falling and the rising. Because oftentimes we have to hit bottom before we're raised up. That this one would cause the proud to fall. That he would be a stumbling block. Because when he talks, when he shines his light in us, he causes us to take a long, hard look at ourselves. And we don't always like that. The people that Jesus encountered, the people that you and I encounter in Jesus' name, have choices to make. They can choose to believe or not. They can choose to follow him or not. They can choose to trust him or not, knowing that if they do believe, if they do follow, they will be raised up. with him on the last day. And Simeon had specific words for Mary as well. And a sword will pierce your soul as well. No doubt there were many times in Jesus' life and in his ministry where things happened that caused Mary to hurt for her son, that caused her to just hurt because she was his mother. But nothing hurt worse than that morning when she stood at the foot of the cross watching her firstborn son die, watching the one that they had waited for slowly die. Simeon waited for the Lord. Israel waited for the Lord. We wait upon the Lord. Will the waiting draw you closer to the Lord? Or will it make you throw your hands up in impatience and walk away from him? What will you become as you wait? And what will you do? Lord God, we really are not good at waiting. But Isaiah wrote, "They who wait upon the Lord will rise up on wings like eagles." We really are bad at waiting. And yet, Lord God, we know that when we wait on you, when we wait for you to answer a prayer or to move in some way, that that's an opportunity for us to draw closer to you, to get to know you even better, to feel the warmth of your embrace as your arms are outstretched waiting for us to come to you. I pray that for us, Lord God, each one of us, that when we find ourselves in that waiting place, that we wait and we rest in your presence. So help us, Lord God, as we wait. Amen.